then peeling all of that back and starting with what is it that I really want? Is this idea of success that the world is telling me is success? Is that my idea of success? Do I even agree with it? Or does it even feel right for me? And so starting from that place of myself and then creating this thing that I'm creating has felt so life-changing, fulfilling, but also very, very happy. Like it's a process that it is hard, but it's also very, there's a joy to it as well.
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this. Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. Today, I am really excited because we're going to continue our conversation around the feminine and masculine lens and what this all means. But I got today a very special guest. Her name is Sunshine Kamaloni. She is such a beautiful being. She's been a client of mine for a few years. She's also a doctor, an author, and a racial equity consultant. She's pretty amazing, and I'm so thankful for her to be on this podcast for us to have just a great conversation. Welcome, Sunshine.
Sonia, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here, and you're pretty amazing yourself.
Thank you. I especially wanted to have you on because I feel like you have a real lived or understanding of, you know, what it means to look through the feminine lens. I feel like of all people that I've worked with and of a lot of women in the world, you really get what that means. It means something to you. It has an embodied experience for you. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you because I feel like a lot of people haven't embodied the feminine. They don't even really understand the concept of what that means. And so I thought you could really share for us what it means to you.
Yes. Sometimes I think some concepts are easier to sort of experience and explaining them is pretty challenging. But when I think about the feminine lens or embodiment, I think about the experience of the self and the experience, like the inner experience of yourself and how that experience with yourself is also translated into your experience with the world. So I come from a very, I guess, a masculine background in the terms of my education. Like I was a very studious child. I really liked studying. I was very logical and very wanting to understand, like explain things, how do things work, and very practical in my thinking. And I think that sort of affected me in a way that turned down the volume on my feelings or emotions or my experience of myself in my body and how that impacted my experience of the world and other people. So there was a disconnect there that I only started sort of paying attention to the more that I found myself in situations where things didn't quite mean the same thing. Like there was a concept, for instance, like you'd learn about a concept like race or justice in class, and then you know, it's a particular thing. And then you go out into the world and you experience it in a different way. So there was all these disconnections. And so it sort of brought me into the space where I started thinking about what does it mean to be me? And I think doing your program, when I started working with you, that was one of the eye-opening things because I came to you with a checklist of things that I wanted. Like I wanted a business, I wanted money, I wanted to be also happy in my work. And so I wanted you to give me like a plan where I could like check things off my list and make sure that I achieve them. And I also had a stopwatch, like, okay, I needed to do this by this time. But that the experience of working with you really unraveled me and unraveled all of that, because it peeled back all the layers. And then I found myself sitting with myself and wondering, what does it all mean? What does it mean to have a checklist? What these things that I have on my checklist, what are they? And do I really want them? And that sort of led me into the space where then it became about really embodying or grounding myself in feeling what I want, and before I even took any action. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes beautiful sense. And I think that is such a good example too of somewhat of the concept of the feminine and the masculine, because, you know, in the masculine, we're thinking, we're calculating, we're, you know, planning. There is this kind of, it's almost outside of ourselves. But the feminine is so subjective. It's about, what do we feel? What do we want? What is inside of us? Like, it's such a different, it's coming from such a different place. Yes. And it's so powerful when we access it.
Yes. I agree. And there's a, I think there's a sense in the masculine, like you're saying, it's very external. So like you're taking something and you are like, it's out there, you take it and you create it. Like it's, whereas the feminine, it's like you are the beginning point of that thing, and the change and the transformation starts with you. And it's almost like it just comes out of you. And it's this beautiful, very present, very quiet, and it's just very fulfilling that way, as opposed to the trying to force situations or force a creation, which that's been transformational for me in sort of understanding how to work and how to just be with myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that differentiation of like, it's taking, you know, the masculine's more taking on something, but the feminine is the birth of creation. It's the point of creation. And, you know, and that's how I wanted people to experience it in their business, right? So in relationships, in life, I mean, it applies to literally everything. But I think where we disconnect so often is definitely in business. So many women are trying to take what's out there and make it right for them and, you know, like take it on instead of feeling the point of creation, the point that they can create from inside of themselves. And that really changes the result of what we get.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and this is the, I think, the key or the core of what I've learned in the program, just, you know, working with you. Because when I first came to you, like I said, I had an idea of what I wanted. Like it was all taken from out there, because society and the world were telling me what I needed to be. I needed to, you know, be successful. And by success, I needed to make lots of money. And I still want lots of money, but I want to make it in a different way. But that was the criteria. Make lots of money. Don't show any weakness. Don't be vulnerable. And all of these things. And so I came to you wanting to create that idea, like that ideal, that concept. And then it wasn't working. Like it just, I would try and it just wasn't fulfilling. I wasn't getting the results I wanted. And so then peeling all of that back and starting with, what is it that I really want? Is this idea of success that the world is telling me is success? Is that my idea of success? Do I even agree with it? Or does it even feel right for me? And so starting from that place of myself and then creating this thing that I'm creating has felt so life-changing, fulfilling, but also very, very happy. Like it's a process that it is hard, but it's also very, there's a joy to it as well, which, and I think that's the another aspect of the feminine, like the joy aspect of it. And I think joy by nature is a very feminine concept or feminine experience. And I think we sometimes don't give it credit, like in the birthing part of, you know, a business or a project or something that we love. Like there's this part of it that's just so joyous and happy. And we can only experience it if we're in the feminine, if we're feeling into it. And it's, yeah, like we're just grounded in that. Wouldn't you agree? Like, is that?
It is. And I almost think like real joy can't be experienced unless you're embodied, right? Unless you're in the feminine, unless you're embodied, and unless you're in the moment, like, right? I mean, joy comes in the moment. It's not created from the future, from the past, or the joy is in the embodiment of the moment. And I think what happens is so often we're so used to being in the masculine. We're so trained to be in the masculine. We're always thinking about the future, thinking about the next 100 steps, thinking about what we have to do tomorrow. We're always calculating. There's no joy in calculation. There can be zero joy there.
Yes. I agree. Yeah, there's, I mean, I know, and I've come to appreciate the masculine through the work that we've done together. I think it's something that really wasn't very clear to me. And the more that I understand it, the more that I appreciate the feminine as well. But there's a sense in the masculine that's about, it's like everything is a project. It's like a mental project. Like you, it's like it's the ego. You have to like, it's so very like mental and logical, and you have to do this and A and B, whereas like you're saying, the feminine is very present. It's like embodied, like you just, it's what comes up, it's what lands, and it's very quiet, but it's also very powerful in that once it lands, it's like whatever decision you make from that place is so grounded and real, and it just, you just go, you move forward without a lot of restrictions. Whereas the mental, in my experience, the masculine, like the mental projects, like there's a lot of talking to yourself, a lot of self-correcting, a lot of, yes, you know, calculating, like you said, and it is so exhausting.
It's like mental gymnastics, right? Exactly. Like we're flipping over this way, flipping over, yeah, that way. And that's the back and forth where, you know, where I feel like when something drops in or when something is unfolded, you know, in the feminine, it is definitely more long-lived, for one. It's more concrete, I guess. Not in like the way we think of it, but more grounded. I guess that's a better word than concrete. Like, and you can feel that. I mean, I can look back in my life and look at every decision that was made through that dropping in, through that, you know, feeling, through that grounded sense. And like, they're powerful decisions that created the best things I've ever experienced in my life. And then I can think of the, you know, definitely the decisions I made through mental gymnastics, like going back and forth. And many of those directions were wrong and misaligned, right? So often that misalignment comes into play when we're doing the mental gymnastics, when we're looking through the masculine lens, you know, whereas alignment is really looking through that feminine lens.
Oh, yes. And I think it's partly because you're given a script, right? Like when you're born, like they give you a script of who you are, what you should be, yeah, and all of these things that you need to do. And so you're working off that script, and your expectation is that, you know, things would turn out the way that you want them to turn out. But like you said, there's always a misalignment there. Like I feel like I've been very misaligned with my life and my goals and my business intentions, or the things that I've wanted to create in the world, because I was working off that script. But now that I've come to clarify myself and who I am, I've come into alignment and I see more of myself a little bit better. And so then that means I'm making different decisions about what I want to do, what I want to create is becoming clearer. And I think that alignment piece is so crucial, because if you're misaligned, you're not going to create what you want to create, no matter how hard you try. And I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Me too, girl. Me too. Like the amount of effort I've put into the wrong things. And it is so frustrating. And then what we're taught is that we're failures, right? If we don't create what we want, it's not misalignment. It's the fact that we're just not good enough, that we're failures, that we're not successful. That's how we interpret it. That's the masculine lens that says, if you achieve, you're good. If you don't achieve, you're bad. And so all those times that we didn't achieve what we want, which what I guess what we thought we wanted, right, that came from the wrong place, we've looked at ourselves as being not good enough, as being not worthy, as being, you know, unsuccessful, when in truth, it was good that we didn't create what was misaligned.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's like, I mean, that's the snapshot of my life. You know, anyways.
I think it's so interesting because we've just not had enough, I don't know, experience, education. I think as kids, if, you know, until we're thoroughly indoctrinated as kids, right? Like in the beginning, when we're kids, we really experience the balance of the masculine and feminine, right? It's more in unison. It's more, you know, because we're in the present moment, we're feeling, we're, you know, kind of experiencing life. We're curious, we're testing things out. And we use the masculine as well to take action and to try things. And so there's this kind of blended balance, but as we get more and more indoctrinated, you know, we start to, the world starts to spin towards that masculine side, and we lose a sense of the feminine side. We lose the value of the feminine side. I think so often we're taught that, you know, the feminine side isn't valuable. And then we stop paying attention to it. We stop putting effort into it. We stop, you know, like, I guess, honoring it.
Yeah, I agree. And when I look at my own life, I can see exactly that trajectory where the feminine kind of went out the window. The more that I lived in the world, went to school, and you were taught how to, like, the right way to be in the world is to be this very stoic kind of person who didn't feel too much, didn't cry, didn't, you know, show their emotions or feelings, or didn't care too much. Like, you're very self-protected because, you know, you have to be this person in the world. And so that value of that softness or that tenderness was, not that it wasn't lost on me, but it just sort of was pushed to the margins, and I didn't connect to it as much. And then I guess being in the world and experiencing the world, suddenly you realize how unbalanced you are because you have this very masculine approach and action, but you're exhausted and you don't like the process of what you're doing to get what you want, like the way that you work. Like, it's too, you know, whether it's too much or working too long, too many hours, and you just don't like the way that it's being done. So you just sort of experience this very distorted way. And then you realize, I guess, again, like you were saying, a lack of education. I think if it not for people like you who take on these ideas and concepts and to teach and sort of light the way or show women, like, there's a different way to be. You only know one way. And so you're kind of trying to make it work and it's not working. And then it's so frustrating and very exhausting. But I guess when the education comes in, there's also that opportunity to rebalance again. And I feel like that's what happened for me. Like, there's been this rebalancing that's been happening in doing the program with you and in sort of going through the process of embodying or learning about embodiment. I'm sort of coming back into that balance, and I can feel my feminine side without completely losing my masculine side as well.
Yeah. And they're, you know, and I think it's important to, you know, say that they're not in opposition. Like, it's not about having only a feminine lens or, you know, and bashing the masculine lens. Like, there is kind of, you know, ways I play with those worlds in terms of social justice, in terms of the way that, you know, the patriarchy looks at the masculine, that toxic masculinity. But, you know, in a neutral way, the feminine is really just an energy, and so is the masculine. But it's about how we utilize those energies. And what is a shame and what is a, you know, a challenge in the world is that we've been taught that the feminine has no place in the world, right? Or it has a place maybe in child rearing, or it has a place in the domestic duties, or it has a place, you know, in slavery, you know, yes. There's this place in which the feminine qualities apply. And then we, you know, totally praise and honor all the masculine. So, you know, you're validated if you're in your masculine, you're diminished if you're in your feminine. And it's really hurt us as a world, because the proper place of those energies is really the feminine, is the creator, is the source, is the power, is the energy, is the being. And then the masculine carries that out, carries out the vision, right? It implements. But we're trying to implement and create from the masculine, and it doesn't work. It doesn't align with our true gifts and power.
I mean, that distinction, I love that distinction, and it's something that I've learned from you, like the role of the feminine doing the birthing and the creation. And you're right, like you look at the world today and how like the masculine energy being dominant, like, and you know, things like compassion and mercy and kindness, these are all casualties of this very masculine driven kind of energies, which, I mean, it's absolutely needed, because like you said, we need to achieve the vision, but we need a vision that's grounded in empathy and compassion, because that's the only way you can create a world where, you know, everybody is treated equally, everybody is seen as a human being, everybody is worthy. Without the feminine, those things just, they fall on the wayside, and that's a loss. And this is, like you always say, this is the cause of our suffering in the world, because we've, you know, marginalized the feminine energies.
Yeah. And I would love to, you know, kind of move into a little chat about, you know, intersection, because I think, you know, the way we're talking about the feminine is more of an energy, but I think a lot of people also kind of bring that feminine energy into the idea of being a feminist, right? Which are, they're not the same. So we're not going to put them together, but I think it's also important to kind of have a chat about intersection, right? Because there is like white women who experience the feminine and being a feminist, and there's Black women who experience the feminine and being a feminist. And I think it's really important to look at the differences in that. You know, have you noticed, I mean, you've taught me a lot about, you know, how to look at myself through sort of that racial lens, you know, which I didn't even know. I didn't even like see race for a long time. And so you've really taught me to sort of look through that. You know, how is that in terms of this feminine and masculine lens? Like, have you noticed if there is a racial component to some of the things we're talking about with the embodiment of the feminine, the masculine lens?
Oh, yeah. I think that maybe a few pieces, and one of the pieces is experience. Because I guess when we talk about intersection as well, the idea is that how different things kind of intersect, you know, like they come together, there's a point where they meet. And intersection is all about experience. It's like the different ways as people have different experiences, like me being a Black woman. So the things that intersect for me is my experience as a Black person, my experience as a Black woman, as a woman, sorry. And so those two things kind of like meet somewhere, and that experience is going to be different from your experience as a white woman. And, you know, even just where you grew up, like, you know, being from the US, I'm from Zambia, which is like a small country in Africa. You know, I've lived in different countries. So there's that, there's like a lot of experience that comes into that concept alone. And I think one of the things with the feminine is that when we look at that from a masculine point of view, it's all about the theory and the logic. So it's understanding intersectionality as a thing. You know, you've got this, someone explains it to you, it's like A, B, C, D. But when the feminine comes in, it actually gives you the space to think about it as an experience. So already that's embodied, because you're not talking about a concept that someone made up. You're talking about someone's experience and where they're coming from. You know, what's it like being Sonia? Like, what's it like being a white woman in the 2020? So it's that kind of approach that makes this feminine and masculine really crucial in these very important ideals and ideas like justice. Like, justice is such a masculine concept on its own. You know, people talk about justice all the time. It's doing the right thing. It's ABC, like a lot of definitions. But when you really break it down and when you come at it from this point of view of the feminine energy, you realize that justice is about people. It's about relationships. It's not just a concept. It's about how people treat each other. It's about how structures impact people. And I think that's the value of the feminine and something that we're not really mining as much as we should be. I mean, you're doing a fantastic job in sort of getting us to talk about it. But I think there's a lot more we can do in taking that into the main arena of these very big social problems that we have today.
Yeah. Gosh, I feel so much emotion that comes up as we're talking about this. And I love the way you just talked about kind of the masculine and the feminine lens. I know for myself, you know, I am actively doing a lot of anti-racism work. I am looking at myself and my own, you know, contribution to white supremacy and what I've been unaware of and what I am aware of. And, you know, in moving through all of that. And what's interesting is, you know, I've read lots of different books. And I've watched different movies, you know, like I'm looking at different information. But what I love, one of the things about what you said that really kind of, you know, hit me in terms of the masculine and feminine lens is I've read some of the academic like books about racism, right? And, you know, I get it. And it's a concept. But then I read some of the books that are like the stories of people, right? So, you know, like I read that a fictional book and it brought me into like, the fictional stories that this Black woman is navigating, that taught me so much more and brought me so much more into the feeling of someone's experience versus like a concept, which was great, but in a way disconnected me from understanding the experience. Like I can tell you about Black people's experience, you know, from an academic viewpoint. Yes. But it's, you know, feeling it and seeing it and bridging that emotional gap that I feel like has changed me the most, right? Is made me so much more empathetic, more understanding, more aware, more willing to, you know, look at my white fragility or to look at where I may be not, you know, unaware. I feel like that's opened me up to something so differently than if I just like did it from that masculine viewpoint.
I love that. I love just the connection to story. It makes me think of something that, I mean, you always talk about in terms of people being like everyone's worthy, you know. And I don't know. I think story is such a good way to think about that, because when you hear someone's story, it's almost like you're giving space for them to actually show you their worthiness. Like that's who they are. You're not coming in and telling them what they need to be. It's not a concept in a book. They're actually sharing their experience. And so the story holds that idea that they matter too. And so if they share a story about how they've experienced racism, your response is to receive that story and to honor that story, because that's their experience. And you can't say, well, this doesn't, because the concept says ABC, so your story can't, it doesn't align, doesn't, so it's not true. So I just think that's a beautiful way of thinking about it. And it makes sense that you would feel that way from someone's experience, from someone's story, because you're connecting to them human to human. It's not an academic concept about the issue. It's actually a lived experience of the issue. I love that. I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
It just really makes me understand how important the feminine lens is in social justice, right? Like we can't, I feel like for so long, especially in my white world, you know, we've looked at social justice through the masculine. Like it really, not to say we haven't heard stories or we haven't talked to people, but there's still this like, you know, I don't know, this disconnection, this overlooking of the social justice issues. You know, it's not being in them. It's not being embodied in the reality of them. It's like from this very disconnected point of view that is studying it, but not living it. And I think we can't make change if we're not more connected to it, if we're not more understanding of it. I mean, of course, I can't step into and embody what it feels like to experience racism, you know, as a Black person or as a woman of color or, you know, in any factor in that way. But I can connect more to people who are experiencing it. I can listen more to their heartfelt feelings, to their perspectives, to what they need, to what is really happening. And that allows me to be more embodied in those social justice issues than just like academically studying it.
Yes. Yes. I mean, just as you were talking, I mean, a question popped into my head and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but do you think it's possible to actually achieve change without empathy, like changing like these social issues that we have?
I do not. And the thing is we've tried. we've tried. But there's this, and from doing my own work, I've seen, like, I've always been, you know, big on social justice and claiming to be about equality and equity, right? Like, you know, I've been a good white woman liberal. Like, I have, you know, absolutely been that person. And it wasn't until I grounded myself in really getting a hold of my own issues around race, my own understanding of my culture and history, that I could even really begin to make the changes in my own life or in my business or in my interactions. So, you know, that required empathy. Like, I can't sit from a perch and be like, oh, these people need my help. You know, like that's what I feel like a lot of people do.
Yes,
and, you know, you can see this, you know, in the humanitarian sort of direction where people go into a culture and they think they know what that culture needs. They think they know what that community needs, but they're not on the ground listening to the stories and hearing what they need.
Yes. And I think that the lack of empathy is what drives disconnection. Like, you're just disconnected from this other group's experience there. And because you're not putting yourself in their shoes or even, and that begins with you. Like you said, I think there's a sense in which you have to see yourself first before you can even see somebody else and empathize with them and therefore have that connection with them. But yeah, I just think that without empathy, we're stuck in these places where we're disconnected from each other. We are not hearing each other. We're not having the conversations. And it's like you said, we've tried it. It's clear it's not working. we need to do something different.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting because, you know, one of the reasons why this is such an important, like, work for me, right, the feminine lens and bringing more feminine to the world is because I honestly believe that as we start to look more through a feminine lens, we will shift all the problems in the world, right? Because it's that disconnection, it's that lack of empathy that creates wars. It's that disconnection and lack of empathy that creates climate change, right? Like, there is, you know, all of the problems with our animals, definitely the problems with race. All of these things exist because we don't have empathy for all things, right? We might have empathy for ourselves, but not for those people. You know, are not for those things. Yes. Or not for the environment. You know, yes. The environment's not as important as it is for me to consume or have cheap gas or, you know, make sure I can, you know, do whatever I need that's more convenient. So there's all these things where we're lacking empathy. And if we were to flood the world with empathy, if we were to flood humanity with empathy, everything would change.
Would be so different. Like, it just gives me goosebumps to even think about how that alone would make experience for so many people very different.
And I feel like I want to go off now into another tangent, which we don't have time, but, you know, about empathy, because I think empathy is a big misunderstood concept, right? Like, so often we see empathy as like this, almost the over ownership of things. Like, you know, the way we relate to empathy is like we're over servicing, we're over giving, you know, like that's what we think of as empathy, where, you know, really empathy is having a reverent connection to something.
Absolutely. Right? Yes. And seeing, because I've been thinking a lot about this as well, this the ability to be with yourself and somebody else at the same time. And I think it's connected there somewhere, because when you cannot start to be empathetic without seeing yourself and being empathetic with yourself. And this is partly why when I look at race, especially with white women, I start with the idea that they have to see themselves as white women. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a white woman. And there's nothing wrong with being a Black woman. Like, we're all just embodying what we are. It's good. It's beautiful. And when we start there, like, the connection that unfolds is more real. It's more genuine than this whole idea of wanting to sort of, like, erase yourself so that you can somehow that's going to help you be kind to somebody. Like, it doesn't work like that. That's actually not even empathy. It's just completely something completely different. You're right. Like, it's not over owning. It's completely different. It's better.
It is. And I love what you just said, because I think it is so important that we have empathy for ourselves, right? Like, I think women are so used to having empathy for everyone else, but they forget about empathy for themselves. And it has to start there. No matter what work you're doing, the racial work absolutely has to start there. You know, I think a lot of people think if they have empathy for themselves or, you know, an understanding of their race as a white woman, as an example, then somehow that's bad. We can't, you know, empathy for ourselves is letting ourselves off the hook for the ways that we, you know, don't have empathy for others. But that's not true. Like, we have to have empathy for ourselves. We have to have understanding, because that's the only thing that opens up the willingness to look at what's true.
Absolutely. And to do the work.
Yeah.
You can't do the work if you're hard on yourself and beating yourself up.
No, if you are shaming yourself, we can't do the work in shame. Like, it's not an environment that produces awareness. It is an environment that produces secrecy.
And blame and guilt.
I love this conversation. All right. Well, I have to wrap up for today, but Sunshine, I would love to have you again on this podcast, because we have so many amazing and great conversations. Thank you for the honor of being here today. And, you know, I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. I love you. I appreciate you. You're doing amazing work. And I thank you on behalf of all women.
Oh, thank you. All right. Well, we will see you all next week. Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to soniastatman.com. All right, see you next week.